Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Escambia County Commission meeting today. I know, it's like a holiday. Doesn't happen very often over the summer or this year in particular. So lots of things that are on the agenda, some of which we discussed with Eric Gilmore just a minute ago, including Director of Public Safety Eric Gilmore, including the transfer of bad debt from EMS collections and the active shooter notification that they're looking to put in at the Ernie Lee McGehee building. But other things that are on the agenda are also very interesting. In fact, one of the things that I think is going to be a big discussion item is the Escambia Children's Trust tax exemption, or the allowance of them to keep all of the money that's right now supposed to go to the CRA. This is a complex math problem, okay? The short version, and there's not really a short, but this is shorter than most, is that when they were taking the money that we voted to give them to help children in education, they were taking all of the additional percentage of the ad valorem property taxes that were supposed to go to this. It was discovered at some point subsequently by the county that they weren't supposed to get all of it, that the portion of it that goes on the improved development value in the Community Redevelopment Agency areas is actually supposed to stay with the CRA. And so we voted in money to mostly fund the Escambia Children's Trust and somewhat put more into the CRA that is not the Escambia Children's Trust. I go into more detail, but it's not that important. What this came up is about $1.2 million. And the county basically said, give it back. And Escambia Children's Trust said, well, can you not make an exception? And they can. And they're going to get a chance to vote on that today. And remember in the past, Stephen Barry particularly was kind of pissy about this. And like, you know, that's our money. We don't. And the other commissioners were kind of on his side, in part because the Escambia Children's Trust didn't have a good track record of, using their money. So that got commingled with the issue of whose money is it really. Now under Lindsay Cannon, we think it's more likely that they're going to do better things with the money, including, remember, there's some school program money turning the schools into these, I forget the term they use, community schools, that they've done at a couple, and Kevin Adams wants to do it at a bunch of other schools. And this is a really good program that could be funded by that $1.2 million in the past and also $400,000 a year or so going forward. So, again, there's kind of this territorial pee and match over who owns the money, who's responsible for it, and who can better use it. And so you've got, the county is going to vote today on who's going to be able to get that money and who's going to be able to control it. The Escambia Children's Trust says we should get it because that's what the voters created. The county previously had said no, but we'll hear you because we have to, by law, hear you. Well, we'll see. We'll kind of see what the tone is today after the loss of Jeff Bergosh in his primary and Stephen Barry, of course, facing an opponent in the general election in November. Will the tone be kinder, gentler, and nicer, or same as before, which is we're in control, don't question us. The other thing that's going to be on the agenda today, which is a really big item, at least in terms of public interest, and it's about a $100,000 price tag, is the Jeff Bergosh text case. Now, you say, well, how can this be on the agenda since the judge hasn't told us how much money the county's going to have to pay? Remember what happened is he had his texts taken and he used the county legal resources with the consent of at least two other county commissioners, Stephen Barry and Lumen May, and they went in lawsuit against Gannett P&J, Alex Arduini, and Jonathan Owens. They lost. The county lost decisively. The judge actually said it with prejudice, right? And said, this is no good. And in fact, according to the legal summary provided by Allison Rogers, the county attorney, the court dismissed the lawsuit with prejudice, finding that the text messages were the personal property of Commissioner Bergosh and that the county did not have sufficient interest in them to proceed with the lawsuit. Additionally, the court awarded sanctions because it found that the county's lawsuit infringed on the free speech rights of the defendants in connection with the public issue. That's the SLAPP provision. The county was trying to suppress public participation, strategic lawsuit against public participation, and that's something that's illegal. There's a statute against that, which is why the judge has now said, I'm going to come back with the penalty. Hasn't said yet what the penalty will be. By the way, in the item, the county's attorney's office is not recommending an appeal of the court's order. So that's good news. They're not going to try to push this on any further. But the question is, how much are they going to owe for the attorney's fees? And by the way, remember, Steve West, the deputy, I believe is his title, county attorney, is the one who may well personally be on the hook for some of this money, because that's part of how slap suits are designed, is or anti-slap suits are designed, is because it's meant to punish the lawyers who should have known better. Well, the number they're looking at is around $100,000. $36,000 for Jonathan Owens' attorney, $13,000 for Alex Arduini's attorney, and $52,000 for PNJ Gannett's attorney. Here's what's weird. It's phrased as a settlement. Like, they're trying to file a consent judgment with the court to confirm the settlement. I mean, settling what? The defendants, I don't think, are proposing a settlement. That'd be news to me. The judge hasn't issued a ruling about how much they owe. It's every time any one of these people talk to their attorneys, the dollar amount goes up. So how do you settle something after you've lost? And I don't understand what they're going to try to decide today. But that's not the most important part about this. I'll tell you the most important part in a second. Jonathan Owens, John Pickens, has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. It's brought to you by Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway or online at parrishtractor.com. Still seeing some backups right now. Let me go back up here on 29 in the Gonzales area, right in front of that Ready Mix concrete place. You're seeing some backups all the way up to where Kim Strand Road. That's right. Other than that, traffic's moving smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to this question of the Jeff Burgosh Texas case, Escambia County versus the three defendants. So the judge hasn't issued an amount yet. We don't know what the judge is going to rule. Okay, I would expect that some of that ruling is going to be specifically directed at Steve West, the attorney for the case, for the county. But we don't know yet. You know, we have to see. Here's the thing. Whatever the judge rules, and then the county tries to pay, or if they vote for this settlement of $100,000, which it seems like a stab in the dark to me, but okay, $100,000, I don't think Pam Childers is going to allow the payment. I mean, I haven't asked her whether she would, but you can look at what she's already done to infer that probably the answer is no, because the judge ruled that this was a personal benefit to Jeff Burgosh because the texts were his property, not county property. And if they were county property, they were public record, and there shouldn't have been a lawsuit to prevent them from getting out anyway. Kind of see how this works. She has already sent two different letters. Letter number one went to Allison Rogers, the county attorney, and says, so you had staff working on this, legal staff, expensive staff, you know, hundreds of dollars an hour staff. You need to tell me how many hours they spent working on this, because the county can pay that. It's not county business. It's private business. You got to send me a detailed itemization of how we're not going to pay Steve West and a couple of other employees for this. And she's saying we're not going to pay that. Okay, that's the first part. So even people who worked on it as employees are not going to get compensated for the hours they spent, according to Pam Childers, because it's a personal benefit. Second, she sent a letter to Jeff Burgosh for $39,000 saying, this is the sort of first pass at trying to figure out how much money you owe the county for fighting a lawsuit on your behalf that you lost and the county lost that should really come out of your pocket because it's a personal benefit to you. So if the county proposes $100,000 in settlement money, I don't think Pam Childers is going to say, oh, fine. I think she's going to say, oh, hell no. But it's more than that, because you had two other county commissioners. I think this was all voted on this year, so since Robert Bender left. I think it was just Barry, Burgosh, and May. So Stephen Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Burgosh voted three, and Mike Kohler voted one against, to authorize the lawsuit. Here's where you get into weird stuff, because a county commissioner cannot use the power as county commissioner to pursue the personal benefit of themselves or another person. That is an ethics violation for the Ethics Commission. And if, as it turns out, this was a personal benefit for Jeff Burgosh, now you've got three county commissioners, one for himself, two for somebody else, using their ability as elected officials to benefit somebody. Also an ethics violation. I don't know if that constitutes a crime. I think it doesn't, but I'm not sure. So then you have another question. Like I said, this is ugly and hairy. If slap punishes the lawyer, Could it also wind up seeking money from Stephen Barry and Lumen May for their share of whatever has to be paid to the defendants because they voted for the lawsuit that turns out to be for personal benefit of another commissioner? I don't know the answer to that question either. But I think it might be an interesting discussion today. Can I put it that way? 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Also, there's apparently a bunch of people going to show up and give their opinion about OLF-8, the proposed distribution warehouse on the backside of it that they do not like, generally speaking, especially the residents in that area. So, yeah, today's county commission meeting might be a doozy. Might be a little bit long. There's an agenda review in the morning, which sometimes has discussion of the items, and then there's the, you know, the regular meeting in the evening, and we'll just kind of, you know, we'll see how all that goes. If you are looking to get college credit as a high school student, that's called dual enrollment. It is free for you to go to PSC and get books paid for. Good teachers, a variety of class sections to work with your schedule. They're very customer-oriented at PSC, which I love. Or if you're thinking about a personal enrichment course like, you know, learning about science or physics or art or something, you know, hey, that's something you can do at PSC. Or you want to, you know, change directions with your life and get a new degree, a completely different kind of education so that you can make more money or go into a field that you think is more of a growth enterprise. PSC, great resource for that. We used to call them junior colleges, used to call them community colleges, now we call them state colleges, but they serve a vital role for education. And I know my family has gotten a tremendous benefit out of PSC. All three of my boys have gone to PSC, and it's been a very, very useful for them, especially as homeschool transitioned to university. Fantastic resource. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at PensacolaState.edu.
Join Jim's Firearms for a 10th anniversary celebration. September 20th and 21st. They're partnering with local favorites like Badass Coffee, Key Nutrition, and more for an unforgettable event. Indulge in delicious food from La Casita Food Truck and 850 Barbecue. But that's not all. They're having numerous firearm raffles with all proceeds benefiting the Save Underdogs Foundation. Stop by Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, September 20th and 21st, to celebrate a decade of community support. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Nehemiah in the Old Testament is a great example of the familiar quote, pray like everything depends on God, but also work like everything depends on you. In Nehemiah 4, the people of God are rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, and they're at the halfway point. After being threatened by opposition from the north, south, east, and west, Nehemiah does two equally important things. He prays to God, and then he posts guards around Jerusalem. Nehemiah clearly believes in the power of prayer as seen throughout the book, but interestingly, he also believes in the power of personal initiative. Nehemiah believes in doing what he can to solve his own problem. Nehemiah prays fervently, like his success depends on God, but he also works diligently, like it depends on him. Ladies and gentlemen, as you pray about your problems, remember that sometimes God's answer will be to use your personal initiative to meet your need.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
I feel like those who knew that sound cut are dying. And those who maybe didn't recognize it from the Blues Brothers when the police at the end are all if I help you, then you can die a little bit too. In a good way. 7:24 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's kind of a minor note, but just a note. Today, UWF is closing campus at 1:30. Classes are canceled and the offices are all closed because of the football game today, because we have the opening day of the NFL and also opening day of Argos football today. Make choices wisely. But anyway, that's so cars will clear out, and so they have room for all the parking of all the people coming on campus. I'm going to throw in an unfair dig. Ready? I'm just going to throw this in there. You know, when you had the games downtown, you didn't have this problem. Moving on. 7:25 at... I still regret that we have to go on campus for the games. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Department of Justice accusing a right-wing influencer network of spreading Russian disinformation. A federal indictment unsealed Wednesday claims the Tennessee-based media company has been funded by Russian state news network RT and posted hundreds of videos and pushed talking points approved by the Kremlin. Donald Trump making an attempt to delay sentencing in his hush money trial. Earlier this week, a New York judge rejected the bid to have the case moved from state to federal court. Now he's requested the judge put that ruling on hold as they appeal to the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And a Green Day concert in Detroit apparently had to be stopped because of a drone recently. The band was forced to evacuate the stage for several minutes last night at Comerica Park in Detroit. Police say it was due to somebody flying a drone into the baseball stadium. The suspect was caught and detained.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have an import, you've got a BMW, you've got a Porsche, Mercedes, a Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus. You might think these are cars you got to take to the dealership, and you don't. It's kind of weird people don't know this, but maybe you do. If you've listened to me long enough, I've said it enough times. There is a federal law that protects you and your ability to go to any repair shop. You do not have to go to the dealership. You might think you do, but you don't. That's been on the books for a couple decades, so it's not new. But you can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service. Save some money. Don't go, miles and miles away if it's in Destin or Mobile or something like that. Take it right here to a place that takes care of those cars all the time on Davis Highway and now on US 29, the new location that just opened a couple months ago across from the Walmart. Domestics, your Chevys, your Fords, that's fine too. They don't only work on imports. They take care of those. Diesel engines, again, you might think that's a specialty item and you got to go to the dealership. No, you can go to Bobby Likas. They work on those cars. The idea is to prevent the big problem by taking care of you with the routine scheduled maintenance so that you can see them maybe a little more often for the small stuff, so you don't have to see them for the catastrophic, horrible stuff. CarClinicService.com is the website. Check them out or schedule an appointment today. And also, Bobby Likas is now doing national accounts and fleet companies like GSA, Merchants Fleet, Cox Automotive, Fleetio, Donlin, Enterprise Fleet Management, and many more. Schedule an appointment or drop by on Davis Highway or on US 29 across from the Walmart. 7:27, back briefly to this issue of the text case. What, John? Yes, John?
Traffic.
Did I skip you?
Yes. I felt left out and...
So sorry. Tell them, please, about the traffic that I failed to allow you to do.
Brought
Thank
to you...
you for waving at me.
No problem. Anytime. I just didn't tell how I did it. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of Bay Winter Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 is bringing you this traffic report. Highway 29 in front of the fire station, number 6, just above Detroit Boulevard. Southbound lanes, 2-car accident just occurred. There's debris blocking 2 lanes. So that's just a heads up on that one. I just got that tip from a listener. Thank you. Still seeing some delays.
First, it's just a very...
Still seeing some delays around I-10 going from Pine Forest down to Highway 29 eastbound. So just be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Are you sure we didn't already do traffic?
Oh, I'm positive. I had to get the sponsor.
I said thank you already. Fair enough, though. Hey, twice is better than zero. And it's probably just the one time. Going back to the Bergosh lawsuit and the texts and the legal fees and the possible settlement being offered, I did get a note in here from a lawyer friend who says that the lawsuit being an official act by the county, successful or not, the county's liable for the fees. Again, I'm going based on what I know from past things with Pam Childers and, what she's allowing to be paid or not, and I'm inferring from that. But that attorney's fees and disputes are nearly as complicated as the trial, almost like a second trial to figure out who owes what money and how much. And most fee disputes do end up getting settled instead of going through the full process of the trial. So that was news to me, and I appreciate that information. Like I said, that'll be a conversation today, and, you know, we will see. 437-1620, 437-1620. What was the date on the On-Ramp of Despair light version?
September 16th.
They pushed that back FDOT. So if you're going south on US 29 to get on eastbound 10, that's going to take place in about 2 weeks. They pushed that back, not quite 2 weeks. So we had wondered about that yesterday if it was in effect, and we had some people tell us that it was not. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but...
When I drove through there yesterday, it was
definitely not ready yet.
Right.
Okay. But it'll be ready to drive on in 2 weeks?
I guess so. They're saying weather. They're blaming the weather.
Okay, sure. You know, they sent the email. What was it yesterday? They sent us the email on Tuesday. Hey, we're doing this tomorrow. Okay, cool. And then, no, we're not doing this for 2 weeks. Okay, cool. Thank you for telling us. One of the issues on the agenda for the county commission that's just kind of that's a little bit of a side note issue, but I thought it was fascinating, is there's a proposal to change the bridge lighting on Three Mile Bridge. All gold for the month of September in honor of childhood cancer, I think is the one, and then teal, pink, and green for a day in September. Anything but cop lights is going to make me happy at this point.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Mourning the latest school shooting victims.
Heavenly Father, for all who are gathered in this place.
The vigil in Winder, Georgia for the four victims in the shooting at Appalachee High School, about 45 minutes northeast of Atlanta.
Mason Shimmerhorn, a 14-year-old student. Christian Angelo, a 14-year-old student. And two teachers, Richard Aspinwall and Christina Irmy.
Fox's Dana Marie McNichol outside the school this morning. The 14-year-old alleged shooter will be charged with murder to try as an adult, officials say. He was on the FBI's radar a year ago following an online threat, but authorities say there wasn't enough evidence to arrest the then 13-year-old. Hunter Biden's tax trial begins today in Los Angeles. Jury selection. President Biden's son is accused of not paying over $1.4 million in federal taxes. Prosecutors claim he blew the money on cars, women, drugs, and fancy hotels. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies and 73 degrees in Pensacola. Could see some rain the next couple of days. Governor Ron DeSantis spoke about being a father at the Florida Children and Families Summit yesterday in Orlando.
Our Fatherhood Initiative, we now have 30 different groups, community groups, that are involved in promoting the importance of fatherhood, helping fathers, in providing resources where appropriate.
Governor DeSantis says all evidence shows that kids just do better when they have a father in the home. He and First Lady Casey DeSantis talked up Hope Florida, which connects public and private sectors to help Floridians in need. The final vote on bringing the SS United States to Okaloosa County as a new artificial reef in the Gulf was delayed a few weeks. The Okaloosa County Board of Commissioners decided to put that vote off for a few weeks in order to work out some issues with the pier operators that currently have the ship. County staff are working to iron out all of those details. That'll be back for a final vote before the Okaloosa Board of County Commissioners on September 12th. An Alabama man has died after a surgical accident at a hospital in Walton County. Alabama's William Bryan died during a surgery at Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast last month in Miramar Beach.
They took him from us while he was completely helpless on the operating room table. They removed his liver instead of his spleen. So, of course, he bled to death on the operating room table. Everyone knows you can't live without your liver. It's about the same thing as if they had pulled out his heart.
And that is Brian's widow, Beverly, and she's now hired Pensacola lawyer Joe Zarzar, says she plans to sue. The lawyer says his client also wants the doctor brought up on criminal charges. The Walton County Sheriff's Office is currently investigating that case. Pine Forest High School receiving a $5,000 grant from T-Mobile. It's the Friday night 5G lights program. The school receiving that money. They can use it on new equipment, new sports gear, transportation for their games. It also means that Pine Forest would be in the running for the grand prize, which would include a $100,000 grant, equipment upgrades for the weight room, a new scoreboard, and a tailgate party for the team. Relatives of Parkland school shooting victims will be in court today. They're challenging Anthony Borges's claim that he would own the rights to the shooter's name and the $400,000 inheritance from his mother's death. Attorney David Weinstein says Borges was working with all the other families as they sued the shooter, Broward Sheriff's Office, and three security guards.
It's a private agreement, most likely confidential, and it's not required to be filed with the clerk of court. But now the other people don't feel that Borges had that right to do that.
And Borges's attorney says he's entitled to more consideration as a surviving victim who could now face a lifetime of medical bills. We have an update in the murder case of Jacksonville rapper Julio Fulio. A suspect in that murder will be locked up until trial. Judge in Tampa yesterday denying bond for Rashad Murphy. Murphy faces charges for the shooting death of Julio Fulio, who was in Tampa to perform a concert when he was shot and killed. Investigators believe the shooting was part of a gang feud. 735. News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates available. That's whitesandselectric.com. Still dealing with that accident, Highway 29 in front of the fire station number 6 and just above Detroit Boulevard. Southbound lanes, two-car accident, debris is blocking both lanes, so just be aware of that. And seeing some minor delay, well, if you're at Navarre Beach Bridge and you're going eastbound, you're going to see about a 10 or 15-minute delay there. That's all your traffic. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. And taking a look at our weather for today, going to be cloudy and a bit rainy. And that's going to be today and tomorrow and maybe starting to clear up once we get into the weekend. Highs in the mid-80s, lows in the 70s. And there are a few areas of interest currently being watched in the Gulf and the Atlantic, but all of those look to have low formation chances. Let's get a look at your money now this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Companies hired just 99,000 workers last month, which is well below the estimate of 140,000. That was according to payrolls processing firm ADP. It is the smallest gain since 2021. The Independent Oversight Board for Instagram and Facebook has declared that the phrase "from the river to the sea" is not considered hate speech when addressing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. People on Meta-owned social media apps can use the phrase if there is no overriding context that would otherwise be deemed problematic, such as violent language. Vice President Kamala Harris has proposed a 28% tax on long-term capital gains for any household with an annual income of $1 million or more. This figure is lower than the roughly 40% rate President Biden proposed in his 2025 fiscal year budget. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Bad boys, what you want?
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Oh, somebody texted me and said, why aren't we talking about the SS United States conversation at the county commission meeting today? Because I don't think it was on the agenda yesterday. It's been added. I did do a quick check, and sure enough, that has been added. That's the reefing sink ship that we're talking about that was going to go to Okaloosa, and now Okaloosa is kind of delaying, and so it might be back available. This is going to come, it had already come before the TDC, but they're going to have a conversation about it tonight at the Escambia County Commission. So thank you. Thank you for that that update. I appreciate that. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good to have you. We had a homicide, an investigation, and an arrest, which is bad news followed up by good police work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That happened early Friday morning at near 11th and Bars, where we got a shots fired call. And when officers arrived, they discovered a male had been shot, and also a female that was with him. The male had very serious injuries and later passed away at the hospital. The female is going to be okay. But the patrol officers and investigators got to work immediately and were able to catch the suspect not too far from the scene of the crime. So they wrapped that one up very quickly.
Well, like I say, it's bad news followed by good police work, so we always appreciate that. Going back just a little bit in time, because you and I did not talk last week, and I think we had not had a chance to talk the week before that, about the Pensacola High School, is it the assistant principal who had been arrested on charges related to some photos that he took? Is that right?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, what's important to remember on that, there was lots of concern on that for obvious reasons, but none of that occurred on campus or with the student. So yeah, that one's wrapped up as well.
Okay, but and again, it's a good note that, you know, obviously people are concerned about the quality of the people that are supervising their children, you know, is sort of the obvious concern here, and the breaking of law in general. But things that take place not on school property are at least of a slightly different nature. So I appreciate that clarification. You and I, anything else that's happened overnight or in the last couple of days that we ought to know about?
No, it's been uneventful. Right, I'm not going to use the Q word.
I know. I love y'all, but y'all are so superstitious about that. It's funny to me.
Hey, and the full moon thing is real.
Yeah. So, well, that's different, though. That's different than saying the Q word out loud. I did have just a follow-up question because, and this is kind of weird. This is a follow-up from a different interview, but, you know, with somebody you know very well, Chip Simmons. We talked with him on Tuesday about, when you post a no soliciting sign in your neighborhood or on your door, does that carry any legal effect? And the basic answer was no. But if somebody trespasses on your property and you don't want them there, call the police. And then if the police arrive, you can have them escorted from the property. If they do not leave, they can be cited. But if they do leave, what they do is put your name down on a list that we've called for trespassing for this thing. And then if they come again, then they can actually be arrested. Do I so far have everything right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's correct.
The question came up, what about video evidence? For example, if you have Ring video of them coming back, and I'm assuming that if you have Ring video of the second time, after they're already put on the list, Ring video of the second time trespassing would subject them to being arrested. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, if you've got Ring video the second time, you're probably going to have it the first time. So now you've got two different sets of video showing that person there, one before trespass warning and then again after the trespass warning, and that's a watertight case.
Great. The question that had come up, though, is do they have to still have gone through the process? As in, if somebody, you got posted, no soliciting, no trespassing, keep off, nobody wants you here, my dogs hate you, and I'm mean, on your lawn. Nevertheless, somebody comes up to your door and rings your doorbell, and you yell at them, go away, okay, and then they do. But, okay, you got all this. They're not on a list because the cop didn't personally see it. This would be the misdemeanor observation rule or whatever it's called. And that video evidence of them coming on your property is not adequate to put them subject to arrest if they come again, even so. The cop has to come and see them and escort them, right?
Yes, you have to be trespass warned by a law enforcement officer along with the homeowner or the property owner for that to be valid.
And even, like, telling the police, this person I don't want back on my property, even that is not enough? Can you, like, pre-warn?
You have, Yeah, I mean, you can pre-warn them all you want to, but in order for us to make an arrest, we have to be there.
Okay.
You know, and there's a, they have to, before they can solicit, and there's nothing wrong with putting that sign up. And, you know, if you're thinking about, well, my sign is useless because I have to have the police there, it's not really useless. You have to have, or you will have people that will come up and see that sign, and then they will just turn around and not even knock on the door. So that will get rid of some of them. So, and another thing is these people, before they do that, they in the city, they have to have a permit to go and do this sort of thing. So they know the rules before they even get started.
Okay. And that's I thought that was all true, but it had been a follow-up question. I knew you'd know the answer, and I wanted to make sure, because people have this question. We got texted. Several people had this exact same question, so I wanted to make sure and let them know what the correct answer is. Just one second, because we have a couple other things I want to get to with you. John Pickens has got traffic on the files. We're talking to Mike Wood, the PIO for PPD. Go ahead, John.
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about Highway 29 and East Kingsfield Road. They are up in the cleaning stages of that one, but still seeing some delays. And also I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way down to Highway 29, you're seeing some about a 10 to 15 minute delay there through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Now, Mike, when you and I first connected on the phone right before you came on the air, you said to me, "What's wrong with cop lights?" Because I had made the comment that the county commission is taking up a request or producing a request to make gold the light for the entire month of September in honor of one kind of, I think it's childhood cancer. Forgive me if I got it wrong. And then in September, one day for a different kind of cancer awareness for teal, green, and pink. And I had made the comment, like, anything but the cop lights, because when you come through Gulf Breeze and you turn onto the bridge, what it looks like is a massive crime scene at the other end of the bridge when you see the red light, red, white, and blue lights over there. At least that's what it looks like to people. You took offense at this?
No, not at all. I mean, if it's going to get whatever it takes to get people to slow down, and if that works, hey, let's do it. But police lights, most of the time, especially on the bridge, they're going to flash. And the lights on the bridge most of the time are steady burn, or they're fading very slowly. You know, police officers know right off the bat when we get on the bridge the difference. And when people don't see that all the time like we do, I can certainly understand how they would confuse that with police lights. But like I said at first here, if it gets them to slow down, then that's great. There's a benefit to that.
All right. Well, I see where you're coming from. But I will tell you that if I survey 1,000 civilians and ask them when you make the pivot to see the little bit of the bridge lights that you can see when you're on Highway 98 going towards Pensacola from Gulf Breeze, when you round that corner and see the lights, do you think there's a bunch of cops? 1,000 of 1,000 will say yes.
So, yeah,
that's just,
yeah, when they've got the red and blue on, that's probably right. But that they can light that bridge up 100 different ways. I got to be out there while they were testing those lights.
Oh yeah, and, I know.
It's really something to see.
Last thing, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and it kind of has something to do with that. You know, nobody likes getting pulled over. Nobody is going to drive 100% perfectly all the time. So there are a few. Here are the top five reasons why people get pulled over. And number one is speeding. And that goes without saying. Just monitor your speed and don't speed. The next one is equipment violations. Most of the time that it has to do with a headlight being out, a taillight or brake light being out, maybe some tint violations. Also, your registration being expired, that'll get you stopped pretty quickly. Improper lane changes, that's where you're cutting people off or something of that nature.
Or you're out of blinker fluid. Don't forget if they're out of blinker fluid.
Well, yeah, we ask them to check that when we stop them for the no blinker thing.
Do you guys carry it in the car to, like, help do you have extra in the car, like in a jug, that if people are out of blinker fluid, you can, refill it?
No, well, that wasn't in the budget this year, so maybe next year.
All right, but good thought for the future. You were saying number four or five?
Yeah, tailgating is another one. It's something very dangerous, and a lot of times tailgating is a direct result of the last one, which is cell phone use or texting, people just not paying attention. So these are the reasons mainly that you're going to get stopped by a police officer, and so just pay attention and not do those things. Chances are very good that you won't. But I don't know of a lot of people that have gone through their entire, you call it, driving career, from the time you got your license to the time you quit driving, that you did not get stopped for one reason or another. It's going to be rare.
All right. Very good. Very good note. Yeah. And by the way, I think you would get massive cheers and a parade down Palafox if you started actively arresting or at least citing tailgaters. And not the kind that go to the football game, but the kind that are too close to behind you because everybody hates those people with a description I can't say on the air. I did get a quick question here. I want to give it to you. Somebody asks, are license plate frames legal or illegal in the state of Florida?
They are legal as long as they're not covering up, like at the bottom where it says Escambia or something like that. It's not covering that up, and it's not covering up the decal.
Okay.
So you can have that, but you cannot have the tinted ones. You can't put tints over the license plate.
Got it. That's good, important information. Thank you for the text. Thanks for the answer. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thank you for your good input on bridge colors and all the other excellent information. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
And putting up with my shenanigans about blinker fluid. 749, where do I buy it? Oh, anywhere. You know, it's available anywhere. Probably at McDonald's. 749 here on News Radio 92.3. Sorry, I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. The Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get the Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
The name's Francis Sawyer, but everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Ooh.
You just made the list, buddy.
Good morning, 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Overcast and rainy, drizzly. Yeah. But, you know, it could always be worse, right? I mean, it could be Minnesota in January. Could always be worse. 437-1620, that's my phone. Oh, somebody texted me in a picture of a listing, a fake listing for, maybe it's a real listing, I don't know, on Amazon for blinker fluid in the antifreeze jug. I think that what PPD and all law enforcement should do is should carry with them fake mock-up blinker fluid jugs, and then when that's what you're pulling somebody over for, failure to use a turn signal or improper use of turn signal, just go up to the car with it and be like, sir, would you like me to fill this up for you? Somebody complain. Not everybody has a good sense of humor. No kidding. The internet's full of them. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a teenager in custody for the murders of two students and two teachers at Appalachee High School in Georgia yesterday. The 14-year-old boy will be tried as an adult for the shooting. The FBI confirming that investigators were called to the home of the suspected shooter last year after he posted an online threat. Hunter Biden's federal tax evasion trial starts today. He's accused of failing to pay more than $1 million in federal taxes between 2016 and 2019. He'll be in the courtroom for the first day of jury selection in Los Angeles. Andrew, how long have you been in your home?
The one we're in now, 9 years.
9 years, okay. Mm-hmm. So when you moved in, did you do a thorough search of the attic?
We built it.
Oh, you built it?
Yeah.
So there was definitely
And I was up in the attic running the security cameras, wires, and stuff like that. So yes, I guess, yes,
okay,
is
gotcha.
The answer.
Well, an original Rembrandt painting was found in the attic of a home in Maine, and apparently it's now sold for more than $1 million. An appraiser for the Thomaston Place Auction Gallery says he found the 17th century portrait of a young girl during a house call in Camden. A private collector from Europe bought it at auction for $1.4 million.
I think I have never lived in a home, I think this is true, that would have been old enough to have something like that in it.
Right.
But, oh, what a find.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
I thought you were going a different direction. I thought this was going to be, you know, a creepy stalker in the rafters kind of story, you know, like, be sure to check your attic for people, right? Like, I thought it was going to be one of those stories. So that's good. That's good. Yeah.
No, I'm in a good mood today. No creepy stalkers in the attic today. Just Rembrandt paintings.
Weird, scary, dark imagination. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Seeing some delays if you're on I-10 eastbound going from Pine Forest all the way down to Highway 29. It's about a 20-25 minute delay on I-10 eastbound through that area, through the construction zone. And also just north of that, if you're on 29 south of 9 Mile Road, you're going to see major delays there also. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thanks so much, John. If you're trying to decide if now is the time to get that next vehicle, I can't answer that for you. But if you go to Frontier Motors, you'll at least have a better sense of what's out there, what the prices are. Good quality used cars, almost new, you know, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. A quality cars. Like, that's what they specialize in, is they really just, you know, the junkers, the beaters, the 10-year-old car with a couple hundred thousand miles, that's not what they sell, okay? They sell cars, like, they are an alternative to buying a new car, if you want to think about it that way. Our Honda Odyssey has a year old and had 12,000 miles on it. That's the kind of car they specialize in, the kind of car that, if you're like me, then you're going to drive for 10, 15 years and basically until it's time to replace it, right? But I know you put it off, because I do, because nobody likes to buy a car. It's a pain. Plus, just the, you'd rather put up than change, typically, is at least that's my own, you know, pathology. And so, you know, I wait too long, too many oil leaks, too many repairs, and then eventually I buy a car. Oh, this is so much better. Well, you deserve that. And so get yourself into the information, know what is out there, what the prices are going to be, and go look at Frontier Motors and see if you maybe aren't waiting too long and maybe now is the right time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 437-1620, that is my phone number. If you want to weigh in on anything, I'm getting a lot of Sergeant Hulka, Uncle Hulka, Big Toe comments to me on the text line. All of my Stripes fans out there are weighing in. What else do we have going on? Oh, no, not that. That wasn't the one I was going to do. I thought this was interesting. I'm still not sure what I think about it. I kind of lean in favor. In Savannah, Georgia, there is apparently a law that punishes you for having a gun stored in an unlocked car. And it hasn't been done a lot of times, it's been done a handful of times, but you know from us talking to law enforcement, this is always a problem, is people keep guns in cars that they don't lock, and then these roaming gangs of teenage vandals basically going in. They're not breaking into cars. They're opening car doors, looking for money, keys to steal cars, and also guns. And they find them more often than not. Otherwise, you know, if the supply wasn't there, the gangs wouldn't show up, right? So they do this, and, you know, it's one of these, like, please lock your car, please don't keep guns in sight in a car, all that kind of stuff. So it's being challenged. Partially it's being challenged as being, you know, maybe a violation of people's Second Amendment rights. Partially it's being challenged as a state preemption in Georgia that says that local municipalities can't regulate guns. Partially it's being challenged because the guy who is being a plaintiff here says, you know, I'm disabled and, you know, I don't think this rule should apply to me because it's hard to get into and out of my car, okay? I'm low-key in favor of this law, if only because regulating the safety of storage of a firearm makes sense to me. And people shouldn't be leaving guns in unlocked cars to begin with. Listen on.